Hey, now if I could gather us together around the reading of God's Word today found in Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2, and a little bit shorter than I'd originally thought, but Luke chapter 2, verses 8 through 18. Luke chapter 2, verses 8 through 18. And in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of a great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. And may the Lord add his blessing to the reading of that word. The shepherd's candle, the candle of joy, the rose or pink colored candle on the Advent wreath. What it represents is a relationship with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. What joy, what Christian joy is not an emotion. We think of joy sometimes as those things that make us happy and we're joyful. And that happiness then makes us smile or laugh or enjoy life more. But happiness and joy are two different things. Happiness is that emotional state that is transitory. Happiness is that emotional state that is dependent upon life's circumstances. If you think back during the course of this year and all that we've had to endure, all that we are still enduring, we see plenty of times when that joy, happiness of life then were those times that joy and happiness of life were taken away from us, or at least suppressed. And so I don't want you to confuse what we're talking about today with the joy of the Christmas season with what happiness is. Again, happiness is that temporary, transitory emotion. Christian joy is a sustainable type of emotion and outlook on life that is ours through relationship with Jesus Christ. Joy leads us into a deeper fellowship with Christ and His church, and we'll be talking about that in just a little bit. But here in the angel's message to the shepherds that we read just a little bit ago is found the origin of our joy in the Christ's coming. So that joy then is found in the angel's announcement when the angel said, "In the city, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." And so we're going to talk about those three things initially here. A Savior who is Christ the Lord. Now the Savior mentioned here is, as we talked about last week, a Savior appears when an individual realizes a need to be saved. There's an old expression that says when the student is ready, the teacher appears. And what that means is that a person is more teachable whenever they are ready to be taught, whenever they are receptive to the teaching of the teacher, then they are more teachable in that moment. Some of you who have been in education, I think that you will understand exactly what that means. Some of us are just stubborn. I've heard that expression, some have to touch the fire to be sure that it's hot. But there are those individuals who, when they are ready to receive, then that teacher appears. So in that same pattern of thought, that same stream of thought, we have this idea of Savior. And what we talked about last week with the peace candle is that when the idea of a Savior comes, then first a person must realize that they are in need of being saved. So there must be some acknowledgement on the part of the people that a Savior is needed. And so his very existence then proclaims that sin issue. Why were the shepherds joyful? Why was this such a big event? To the devout of Israel, they had been looking for the Messiah for centuries. This had been the prophetic call for the centuries, that there would be a Messiah, the house and lineage of David. He would be the one that would come and to lead Israel and be the Savior of Israel. And so the call of the Messiah had been, up until this time, just a prophetic cry. And for 400 years, between, if you want to say, the last book of the Old Testament, the first book of the New Testament, that gap there, roughly 400 years, there had been a silence of the prophetic call. And so the devout of Israel were looking for this prophetic call to continue, and all they received was silence. And so in their hearts, I would imagine they had begun to wonder, has this call now been silenced permanently? Are we still to look for this Savior? Our hope tells us that God's word is sure and that this Savior will come. And then all of a sudden, in an instant, the life of the world was changed when the sky shone down upon this group of shepherds that day, and that angel's announcement to them that the time is here, the time has come. To put it into maybe context, and sometimes I have to be careful with these things when I use them as an illustration, but hopefully you enjoy seeing your children come back to be with you. Hopefully you enjoy your family coming to visit you at Christmas. And so there's that expectation and there's that looking for them to come. I know when our children are on the way, both of them have to travel very far distances to get to us. It's not like they just come from Lane or King Street or someplace like that. Considerable distance. And so as they are traveling, we're texting with them. We're expecting them. As I like to tell them sometimes, our noses are on the window pane. We have that expectant look there. And so when they come into the yard then, there is a realization that they are here. And the joy that we had in expectation of their coming has now been realized in their physical presence here with us. And so this is that stream of thought that was in this announcement to the shepherds and the way that they received this. And it was an outside joy then. Remember last week when we talked about the peace candle? The peace candle was an inside state of being, change of relationship with God that brought reconciliation between mankind and God. And in that reconciliation then, that peace began to flow outwardly and give outward effects to the state of being of the church of God. But here, this external joy that was coming in to the shepherds on this announcement that the Messiah was here, the time has arrived, the Messiah is physically present on this earth. It would be that external stimulus of joy that would come to them in receiving that announcement that would lead to that sustainable joy that is known as the Christian joy. And so here, that came to them now, but that origin of that joy is receiving Jesus Christ as Savior. The first step toward that is acknowledging the need of that Savior. The second name that Jesus was called here was Christ. Christ means the Anointed One. Means that He has been set apart especially for what He has been chosen to do. He has been sent to earth by God, anointed, if you will, by God. Whenever an individual was set apart to serve as a prophet, a priest, or a king, there would be a process of anointing the head with oil. And it was a symbolic process that said this person now has been set apart for the service that he has been prepared to do and has been called to do and chosen to do. And so this anointed one that was coming here had been chosen especially by God and sent especially by God as the anointed of God for the unique service of Savior of the world. What Jesus was getting ready to do would take a special life of perfection. If he was going to give himself to be the sacrifice, the substitutionary sacrifice that would satisfy the sin condition that was on mankind, that the people of God had been looking forward to for so many centuries, then that special person had to be there. And so Jesus was set apart. So again, the origin of that joy, he was to be the Savior. And now he is that anointed, that specially set apart person who would lead that life of perfection that would be substituted for us. And finally, it says here that he is to be our Lord, our Savior, our specially anointed, chosen one by God, and he would also be our Lord. What does that word and term Lord mean? Again, we think of Jesus in our church, not the whole church, not just Union. But we think of Jesus, you know, we know what he's done. He came, he was born in Bethlehem. We celebrate his birth, Christmas, celebrate his death and resurrection. On Easter, we know the Sunday school answers here. But what we're not called just to acknowledge his birth, life, and death and how that affects us as individuals. We're called to be obedient servants and disciples of him. Billy Graham put it like this. He said, "You see, Jesus doesn't simply call us to believe that he existed or even to believe that he can save us. He calls on us to commit our whole lives to him, to trust him alone for our salvation, and then to follow him as his disciples." Jesus put it this way while he was on earth. He said to take up our cross and to follow him. Now, what that phrase means, taking up our cross, a lot of times we confuse that with the circumstances of life. Again, that external input that affects our happiness more than it affects or should affect our joy. And so that external input of a bad supervisor, a bad relationship, or whatever it is, that sometimes we say, well, that must be my cross that I have to bear. I have to live up under this persecution. I have to live up under this ridicule. I have to live up under this abuse. And if I'm to be a good follower of Jesus Christ, then I must live up under this cross that I am to bear. And that is as far away from the truth as you can get. The symbolism of the cross was a sign of submission and was a sign of obedience. And so if we are to take up the cross of Christ, we do it with an attitude and a heart of submission to him as Lord and recognition of him as divine Lord, one whose words are true and one whose words are worthy of being obeyed. And so there is a call to obedience and a call to submission to him. And that is setting him in his proper perspective. So when we say our Savior, who is Christ, the Lord, the one who has come to reconcile men's hearts with God, that special anointed one that God has sent, who we are also to see as our Lord, that we surrender to and we submit to him. And the joy of Christ then comes in our relationship to him. Your thought for the day is this: Christ's coming is the origin and fulfillment of our joy in salvation. Christ's coming is the origin and fulfillment of our joy in salvation. Our submission leads to joy. Our submission to Christ leads to joy because we are no longer fighting against God. When those shepherds came and they laid eyes on the Christ child, all that prophetic call, all that prophetic cry that had been going on for centuries then became more than a prophecy. It became a reality because they laid their eyes on Jesus Christ. They laid their eyes on this Christ child, the one that the angels said, this is the Messiah. This is the promised Messiah. And so the reality of his existence then allowed a physical relationship with him as those shepherds laid their eyes on him. He was no longer this unseen person that was to come. He's here now. I have a name. I have a location. I have a body. And I can have a relationship with him. Now that has changed some now for us on this side of Jesus' ascension. For that period of time that he walked the earth, some 33 or so years, people then were able to have a physical relationship with him. He was seen, he was known, they knew where he lived, they knew his mother and father. They could talk to him, they could hear his words, they could feel his touch upon them. Now our relationship with him has changed, but our desire for that relationship and the effect of that relationship upon us has not changed. The shepherds saw Jesus and the reality of his presence then strengthened their joy. Going back to that illustration that I told you about your children or your family coming. And so that presence there then strengthened the joy that was there in anticipation of their arrival. But the joy here of that relationship then brings us into harmony with the desire of God in our life. That relationship that we have with Jesus Christ brings us into harmony with the desire that God has for our lives. Amos 3 says, can two walk together unless they are agreed? Can two walk together unless they are agreed? In other words, can you and your friend walk down this road and arrive at the same location unless you are in agreement that that's the place that you're going? And so relationship then with Jesus Christ brings us into agreement of a common purpose, a common goal of building the church by building us. And so this relationship that we have with Jesus Christ then becomes that overarching theme in our life that we are joining together with God in the work that He has in the world of building His church. In whatever way that you are called into that, in whatever way that you fit into that pattern of working with Jesus and glorifying God by the things that you do and serve in the church, then we work together with Him in a compatibility, in a state of compatibility based upon our relationship with Him. In 1 Peter, there's a very special words here that we all should take heart. As I said, the shepherds had joy because they could see the Christ child. What Peter reminds us of is that it is through our faith that even though we have not seen Him, we can have that relationship. Because Peter reminds us that though we have not seen Him, Christ, we love Him. Though you do not know Him, you believe in Him and rejoice with joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory, obtaining the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Faith brings the reality of the unseen. Faith brings the reality of the unseen. And that faith is a work of the Holy Spirit of God. That Holy Spirit convinces us of our sins. Remember, I told you that to have reconciliation with God, to see Jesus as Savior, we have to first see the need. We have to see Him in that role. And so that is that Holy Spirit's presence within us then, convincing us of our need of a Savior, convincing us that of the reality of Christ's love, and convincing us of the reality of His sacrifice for all of us. Because without that faith then convincing us of the reality of His existence, then that relationship, that all of us are to have with Him and through Him will not be as strong as it needs to be without convincing us of that reality. All it can be is that prophetic call that the people of Israel had listened to for so long. But now, in reality, because Christ has come, our faith convinces us that it is that relationship is sure. Because we have a relationship with Jesus Christ, because we are walking the same path with His shared and common goals, then that means we can have fellowship with others. What did the shepherds do when they came and they saw the Christ child? They went out and they had to share their joy. The shepherd's joy at seeing Christ had to be shared with others. And that shared news united all of them who heard that news in a common joy, in a common state of wonder. And that's what fellowship is within the church. It unites us through shared lives. It unites us through shared lives. Because shared lives brings fellowship with others. Fellowship with others brings more sharing of lives. And so you have this circle of continuity there among the people of the church of God who share their lives with each other, who receive that shared joy, and then we go about sharing more of that joy with others in that fellowship of uniting for the common purpose of glorifying God and building up His church. The things that make you happy, you want to share them. Ask any grandparent who has just received pictures of their grandchildren. Ask any parent whose child has just graduated some institution. Ask any person whose daughter or son has just been married. Look at the pictures here from this event. Look at my grandchildren here. Why is that desire to share so strong? Because it is a source of joy to that individual. And what the shepherds saw that day in Bethlehem gave them that strong desire and drive to go out and share it with others. In the Christian community, the joy of receiving Christ, the joy of having acknowledged Christ as Savior and surrendering to Him as Lord, that sustainable state of emotion and coming from a deep fellowship with our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ, then, is that sustainable source of Christian joy that drives us to share that with others. How do we do that, and why do we do that? Number one, that we're called to be the body of Christ. And Scripture tells us that the body has to function together if it is to achieve the common purpose. If you're walking down a road and your right leg wants to go this way and your left leg wants to go this way, you're not going to accomplish much, are you? If you're trying to perform a function at home and your right hand wants to do this and your left hand wants to do that, then you're not going to accomplish that goal. And so as the body has to work in harmony, Scripture encourages us to be that harmonious body of Christ, working together through shared love, through the shared joy of relationship with Christ, to achieve that common purpose of glorifying God and building the church. We share our lives with others as a source of encouragement to others. We share our experiences that we have had with the Lord as a source of encouragement and comfort with others. Yes, I was in a situation just like you, and this is what the Lord has done for me through that relationship. This is the comfort that I received through my relationship with the Lord. As we've shared with you before here, as we talk to others, as we endure under the stuff of life that befalls all of us, we make a statement about our faith, and we make a statement about our love for our Lord and His love for us by how we hold up in that state, whatever it is. Whether it's sickness or illness or strife of life, we make a statement to others in how we endure through that, how we continue to worship, how we hold the light of Christ in our lives. So what is Christ's joy? The joy of Christ is sharing in His completed obedience that took Him all the way through the cross. And because now we are in relationship with Him, that same obedience is shared by us. As imperfect as it is still shared by us through that relationship that we have with Him. And by sharing that relationship with Him, we are drawing other people into that relationship, and the whole body of Christ, with Christ as our head, then begins to work in harmony, and we become the fulfillment of that question in Amos, can two walk together without they be in agreement? And so the joy of relationship that is ours through the birth of the Christ child in Jesus Christ empowers the growth and the cohesiveness of the body of Christ that is ours here in this church. And so I ask you this day to find the joy that is ours through Jesus Christ, to look forward to that joy as we come together and celebrate the birth of the Christ child that brought that ability to have relationship. And allow that joy of Christ then to build you up, to overflow, and share that joy with others. May I pray for you. Father, we thank you this day that you have given to us that relationship with Christ that is ours, to see Him as Lord and Savior. And Father, we just pray now that you will continue to work through Him in our lives, to lift up others, to share that common experience, so that all of us, Father, may know that we have experienced your love, your comfort, and all the blessings of your throne. May we share that to strengthen and to give comfort as you have provided those occasions. And may we too be comforted by all of that as well. And we ask this in Christ's name. Amen.